S R N.
Must show you this. Lickable wallpaper for nursery walls. Lick an orange, it tastes like an orange. Lick a pineapple, it tastes like a pineapple. Go ahead, try it.
Oh. Mmm, I got a plum.
Grandpa, this banana's fantastic. It tastes so real.
Try some more. The strawberries taste like strawberries. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Snozzberries? Who ever heard of a snozzberry?
We are the music makers. And we are the dreamers of dreams.
So the bartender lived. The bartender never gets killed.
And my name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
What about you, Peggy Sue?
I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll fine him for three, but I'll catch him and kill him for 10.
What is it you want us to do?
I want to talk to Samson. Fly me to the moon like that bitch Alice Cram.
Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle.
I admire your luck, Mr.
Call me Snake.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Queso.
Welcome to episode 75 of Cinema Crespo Queso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the download. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate the support. If this is your first time checking us out, hey, you got 74 other episodes to check out. I recommend you listen to them in reverse chronological order.
That way we'll be really confused about what's going on.
That's the voice of my host, co-host.
I'm your host?
My host. The host of my host. all of our hosts. Juicy Cochran. Drew, how's it going, dude?
It's going, man.
All right. It's summer. Summertime. Summer season. We are in the midst of the summer season.
It is very, very warm outside.
It is quite warm out there. The whole country is feeling it. But that's how we know it. That's how we know it's time to go inside to a nice, cool theater for
watch
a couple
awesome
hours
movies.
And watch some hopefully awesome. Not always awesome. Sometimes crap.
Yeah.
But that happens. Sometimes 2 hours in a cold theater to watch a crappy movie. Still better than being outside.
Oh yeah, totally.
In that summer heat.
It's hot out.
Just roasting. Toasting. Yep. So that's your Cinema Crespo weather report. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Hope that helps you. Wherever you may be. We're working on those interviews that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get put out there again, trying to get Wesley Snipes. He's in town. We can do it.
We can get him.
We can make it happen. Antonio Tarver.
We need to give them some sort of incentive.
The incentive would be to be on an awesome show and have a good time and tell people about their great experiences.
Isn't that good enough?
I mean,
isn't that good enough?
Yes, but in their eyes, no.
Well, we gotta like pay him and stuff.
I mean, more than likely. It's the way these things work, brah.
Come on, guys. Just be cool. Just be cool, Wesley, we love you, man.
Yo, man, he's got bills to pay, brah.
So do we.
He's got lots of tax bills to pay.
No, those are, I think, squared away.
Oh, with the time served?
I guess so.
Is that the way it works?
I think with other
take
stuff.
Take my years, not my money?
I think both. I think they take the money. They want the money, too. Well, I don't want to have him on to talk about tax issues, though. I want to have him on to talk about what it was like to be in Major League.
Or Passenger 57.
Or Drop Zone.
Or Murder at 1600.
Or a dress that changes all the rules. Or Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, man. What else is Wesley Snipes in? Ooh, as... God damn. Fucking name of this movie.
You named the movie.
Brain Fart.
Never heard of it.
I can't think of it.
Bleed.
No, that wasn't it.
Bleed 2?
Nope.
Probably three.
Nope. None of those things.
How about he was in Major League about Major League too. He was in that other one, Art of War.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it either.
That wasn't it. How about that other one that he was in? Where he did all the kicking?
It might have been that one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We could talk to him about all of those. Every single one of those.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
It would be.
We can talk to a lot of people about a lot of stuff. We don't have any guests. We haven't had guests here in a while. That's
no,
really, that's just me being lazy.
That's fine. I don't mind you being lazy.
Just
It's keeping my glorious DCVTW record intact.
Yeah, what do you have so far?
I'm at 6-1, and it's going to stay. I mean, yeah, only halfway through the year. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're bringing some heavy hitters here. Although you've been taking them all down, man. You have been.
I mean, you got to get Curtis in here. Or I'm sure he'll whoop the fucking shit out of me like he always does.
Well, Curtis is...
I know. Episode 100.
Episode 100. That's going to be the blowout episode. Even though it's not officially the 1 year. But we'll do crazy episode 100.
Woo!
And then 1 month later, it'll be like the 1 year, I think. That's how that's going to work out. It'll be a smaller affair. No, the 2 year. What am I talking about? The 2 year.
But we already had the 1 year, bro.
We already had the 1 year. The
52,
2 year.
Remember?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it is. Is that Star Wars?
Where? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, let's start the Netflix and the pick of the week. Yeah, it's Star Wars. See, the other people aren't going to hear the first Star Wars. They're only going to hear this Star Wars.
You caught me off guard, man.
It was a live editing gaffe. We're going to start this week with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get that started up there. Netflix Instant Randomizer 9000. It's a complicated machine.
It's got a gas motor on it now.
Yeah, we added a
gas
motor.
It's not chicken powered anymore?
Nope, not chicken powered. And it's winding down. All right. We do the Netflix Instant Pick every week. You can see our past Netflix picks at chriscrespo.com. Netflix has tens of thousands of titles to watch.
All right, you know what I'm going to start doing with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
What's
I'm going to give you the year, the rating, how long it is, and what you've already rated it.
Oh, no.
And then I want to see if you can guess. We're going to start this now and forever.
Okay, so give me...
It's from 1991.
Okay.
I'll let you know it's a comedy.
Okay.
It's rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour and 47 minutes. You rated it 4 stars.
A comedy from 91 that's PG-13?
Hour and 47 minutes.
Man, that's not a lot of info.
Working class guy offers to take his girlfriend's son.
Oh, the Dutch.
There we go.
Yeah, I was going to take something for me to get that one.
I was just going to start
Dutch.
Reading what it is without saying, because the first word was Dutch, so I couldn't say that.
Yeah, you couldn't
so
say
I
that.
So I had to say
guy.
Working class guy.
That was good, working
I'll,
class
I'll
guy.
I'll just keep reading until you can name
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, good. That was a good one. Ed O'Neill, Ethan Embry. Even as a kid, you can see him losing his hair instead.
Yeah,
it's very sad. But yeah, he plays what is his girlfriend's kid? Yeah, he's like his girlfriend's spoiled kid. He has to go pick him up. He offers to go pick him up. It's a Thanksgiving themed movie.
Yes,
because he's taking him for Thanksgiving. Not many other Christmas movies. Not many Thanksgiving movies. So you know that's always fun. That's a fun one to put on. Watch Al Bundy.
Be a normal person almost.
Be almost a normal person and try to be a cool guy and then have this snotty kid just tell him what for a little while before then he turns around and then, you know, mutual respect, et cetera, et cetera. But a Dutch, all right, hey. That's a good one.
Huh?
I like that one.
You gave it 4 stars?
4 stars? That seems a little high. That's more of a... Because it doesn't let you do half stars. Really? It's a 3.5-er for me. It's a 3.5. 4 stars is high. But I would rather on Netflix rated 4 than 3 stars.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it... It's really a 3.5.
You give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When it comes to Netflix ratings.
Exactly, I do. Yeah, I like the new twist on the... Let's see.
I'm changing it up, bro.
Changing it up. I like it. All right, let's do... we got that box office recap where every week we talk about the top 5 movies from the previous box office. And what about... Even if we see ones that are outside of the top 5... We got to recap that one as well. If it even shows up on the list. Sometimes we see movies that make like only a few thousand dollars.
Number 25 this week.
Number 25, movie of the weekend.
The Signal had a weekend gross $146,000.
On 120 screens.
For a grand total of $146,000.
It's kind of a weird opening. You would
think they didn't even go with the 4-screen, 8-screen like New York, Chicago, LA thing. They went 120 pretty much across the country, but I guess they're kind of across country.
Nobody even knows that this movie is out.
That's the other thing. There's very little marketing for it. We saw it in front of the trailer in front of another like independent arty movie. What did we see? It was like in front of Locker. It was something like that.
It was either Lock or The Only Lovers Left Alive. It was in front of one of those two.
Something like that is what we saw.
Because we also saw the Rover trailer, which played in front of the Signal.
Yeah, and the Rover, if that's on the list, I can tell you that that's only playing in 5 theaters.
Oh, and it made $70,000. It's number 27.
So the Signal, that's a tough sell. It is a tough sell because it's like a Twilight Zone episode. There are so many reveals in the movie. Like, well, how many reveals do you want to give away to entice the people to see the movie?
It really didn't matter because as many reveals as they gave away, there were a lot more to come.
It's crazy how many. It's just like, oh, now, now here are the new facts. Like, oh, now this is what's really happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Very, totally.
Very interesting. All right. Well, we both had a chance to see The Signal. Very low budget movie. That obviously the budget's not here. I would give it
not much.
A million tops. $1 million budget tops.
Most of that probably went to Lawrence.
Not even then. I would say Larry worked for scale on that one. A lot of that probably went to the effects because there were a couple.
There
big
were some really
shots.
Cool effects. Yeah, there were.
You know,
but I understand why there weren't more.
Oh like, yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, it's cheapo.
Yeah,
cheapo. But still, in an interesting way, how can we tell people about The Signal? The Signal is about, well, how do they sell it in the trailer?
Well, I mean, it's basically about, there's a group of kids.
Group of kids, three kids.
And, not kids, they're college age.
They're college kids, 18, 19, something like that.
And they're on their way to drop off the girlfriend.
Right.
Because she's moving.
She's moving cross country to go to school for like a year or so.
So, and they don't give this away in the trailer, but, you know, on the way, they decide to do something else. On the way.
Well, they get just like a hacker.
Yeah.
And they get into like a little cat and mouse thing with a hacker that's obviously better than them, and against their better instincts, they follow breadcrumbs left by the hacker to some remote place, and then
the shit hits the fan.
Shit hits the fan for them. you see in the trailer, like they wake up in a hospital setting. This is where Lawrence Fishburne comes in because he's in a hazmat suit and he's interviewing the kid, like you know, like some shit's going on, but the kid doesn't remember. And then from that point forward, the movie is all about, you know, you as a viewer and the kid discovering what's really going on.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. It's a series of reveals. Like,
boom, boom, boom.
Like, mirrors are being turned. Like, oh, shit, now it's this, now it's that, now it's that. And then the movie is like, oh, now it's really this the whole time. Trying to get you
Biggest reveal of all at the end where it's just like, duh.
Trying to give you a gut punch ending, like, boom, like, we're going to send you out the door.
Well,
they're trying to.
It was a dubstep reveal.
There was a
the second like the jam, bam, it happened, bam, 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 you know,
it started getting dubstep,
and then dubstep.
That's how I knew the movie was ending.
Yeah,
because all of a sudden it was the first time the whole movie all of a sudden it got dubstepping.
Yeah,
which I actually really liked much of the score of the film.
Yeah,
I thought
it was
really
pretty
cool,
good.
A pretty cool score.
It was a fun little movie, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fun, cool movie.
I mean, if they want to say
ultimately pretty light.
People who say that there's no original ideas in Hollywood need to watch this movie because this is original.
It's originally put. Yeah, it's definitely someone trying something, trying to tell an original story on their own. I mean, obviously, just like with any story, you're taking pieces from here and there, or whatever.
Well, yeah.
But still, it's put together in a way that I thought I knew where it was going, and like I got a couple of things before the reveal, a couple other things, but things I was like subverted what I was expecting, you know, pretty smartly. So yeah, it's pretty well put together. It's definitely an example of something that doesn't have to be based on a book or a comic book or a video game or board game, because that's happening.
Toy,
too. Yeah, a toy, just a straight up piece of plastic. Whole movie franchise based on pieces of plastic. This is an ideas movie. Now it does have some fun ideas in it, but it does the thing is dramatically that's kind of there's not much there. There's no like emotional point to the movie.
They try to drag you in emotionally.
Just because they added some tears here and there, and like so, these people like each other. It's not there's no emotional connection to that, their whole little thing, and like what's happening with the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like they're doing one movie for 20 minutes and then it becomes a whole other movie entirely.
Kind
just,
of.
Just with the same characters. So now you got the development from the first movie leading to the second movie, but they don't resolve each other. It's, I don't know. So it's like, it felt like if they had taken more time with the screenplay and actually figured out what they were trying to say. Because could you tell me what they were trying to say with that movie?
Nah, not really.
Like, outside of, like, here's a fun little sci-fi movie with a bunch of twists and turns and reveals.
I didn't really see any underlying theme.
Yeah, you know, kind of, I hate to say pointless. But what was the point of the movie?
To watch it.
Right.
To basically a point A to a point B. I mean...
And movies like that are fine.
They weren't really trying to say anything. I guess it was more about the journey.
Yeah, the journey and, like, you know, all the way up to the big last reveal.
You, along with the main character, you're both, unless, you know, you're thinking about it the whole time, you're both kind of coming to these realizations together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's...
Really saying anything.
Yeah, so it makes that's what holds it back. That's what makes it a fun movie, but not, like, any sort of... You know, new great movie or keep an eye out for this guy, you know. But I mean, I think for sure this guy's gonna be an interesting director. Looking forward to seeing what he does next. Because he did co-write this story, so maybe, you know, give him a story written by a professional and see what
Get him. Maybe he's the better writer and somebody's holding him back or something.
Maybe. I doubt that though. Yeah, maybe.
Probably not.
You never know. You never know. All right, but so it's only playing 128 theaters here in town, Orlando. It's playing at the Winter Park Village.
In the big theater.
At the big theater, which is interesting, right? But we were the only ones in there for the most part, I think. Yeah. I think some people walked in late. And the AMC over at Downtown Disney, I think, is playing on the screen down there. So that gives you an idea of how sparse this movie is. So if it's anywhere near you, I would say it's worth checking out just because it is pretty fun to see. I think it does help to see it on a big screen. Some of those effect shots are really cool. And yeah. Right? What do you think, Drew? Would you say people should bother seeing it in the theater? Or?
Well, if you don't bother seeing it in the theater, make sure you have a good sound system, because I really like the thumps and the and all the really the special effects. They had really good sound mixing along with it too, and I think that really added to it, because it was kind of a small movie.
Mm-hmm. It is a pretty small movie with just a couple of characters.
No,
so
I think it benefits from the bigger screen and the better sound system. So.
For sure. All right. So go see The Signal, because it's pretty, pretty sweet.
When was the first time you heard The Signal, Chris?
I guess in the trailer? Was The Signal even in the trailer? Did they even hear play The Signal? I don't remember if I heard The Signal. First time I heard The Signal was in 2007 when I saw The Signal. The first Signal movie. There's a movie called The Signal.
Nice.
Where it's a horror movie where it's kind of a zombie movie. It adds a weird one where, like, people came up with a movie with a story, but they split up the story into three parts, and then three different people made the three. Like, so one person made the first part of the movie, another person made the second part, and the third person made the third part. And they put them all together and played it as one movie.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. Yeah, it's an okay movie.
Number five this week.
Number five. Here we go.
The Fault in Our Stars. We can gross $15.7 million, total of $81.7 on a budget of $12. Goodness. Holy crap, gracious. They made their money back.
Holy cow. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Cancer Romance.
I talked to someone who went and saw it with her. Like, she brought her niece with her, mm-hmm. or whatever. It was her niece's idea to go see it.
How bad did they cry?
Oh, they said it was very crying the whole time. And she was like, and there was like these guys there at the theater, and they were all crying the whole time too.
Of course.
So everyone's all crying like a bunch of bitches.
Yep.
We're gonna have to do some sort of Crespudiso Fault in Our Stars, like, contest or something.
To see how long you can watch Fault in Our Stars before the first tier comes?
Yeah, but I mean, not just us. I mean, we have to get a whole theater full of people, and, you know, we all sit down and we all see it, and then there has to be, like, monitors, people, like, watching the crowd.
I'm gonna win.
And then, maybe you can't be. Maybe you can't be.
I'm the ringer, dude.
Maybe you and I will be, like, the spotters. We'll stand off to the side and look for people.
I don't cry in movies.
And then whoever can make it through the movie without crying, they'll win to win a prize.
Let's say I'll win the whole thing, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you got to be one of the spotters.
Yeah.
You got to be clear. You got to be clear-eyed in order to see the people. You can't be like crying yourself and then try to look at that person crying, because, like, it's just the tears in your own eyes, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I understand.
So, Fault in Our Stars.
Number four.
All right.
Edge of Tomorrow made $16.175 million. total of 56.7 on a budget of 178.
Only a 43% drop from week to week. That's pretty good. That means good word of mouth.
I think this is going to have legs.
Yeah, I hope so. It's got to if it wants to make any money. We're looking at almost a $200 million budget there. Worldwide, Edge of Tomorrow is at $237 million. Could be making a little bit more. You know, I mean, it's a shame. It should be making. It's a really good movie. It's a fun movie. I really enjoy it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's there's a lot of sci-fi movies out right now. And I would see X-Men Days of Future Past first. Then after that, I mean, as much as I liked Edge of Tomorrow, I would still... If I haven't seen Godzilla, I'm going to want to see that, too, before I see Edge of Tomorrow.
Godzilla at $191 million. X-Men, $205 million. There is. Maybe it's a tight marketplace there for almost a similar type of movie, because it's definitely going for the same core audiences there.
Yeah.
Of the three, I think like Edge of Tomorrow might be the most fun. Godzilla was like the biggest. X-Men was the coolest.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow is probably the funnest. It's been a good summer.
It has.
It's been a good summer so far. I've been pretty happy with the movies that they've been releasing.
Coming up at number three this week, Maleficent.
Looks like this one.
$19 million, total of $163 million on a budget of $180 million.
Maleficent was okay.
It was all right.
It was all right. It's pretty cool that, you know, Disney was fine with making a movie like based on one of their, you know, iconic movies, Sleeping Beauty, but on the, centered on the villain and, you know, twist it around and make the villain the good guy and all that.
Yeah.
Worldwide, $436 million for this movie. So it's paying off for Disney.
Yeah.
They're happy with that. If it gets around $600-700, I'm sure it'll be quite happy.
Oh, yeah.
Maleficent 2, possible? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no one wants to see
that. Number two this week, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
How to Drain It?
Train It. Week at gross of $50 million, same as the total. Budget of probably a bunch.
It was kind of interesting. Some people were thinking that this could have been the number one movie of the weekend. I mean, the first How to Train Your Dragon did not come out during the summer. It came out, I think, like during March or something. But ended up making a good amount of money, and people really, really like it. So but the sequel came out for the summer. You know?
I think they're splitting the difference here. I mean, if you've got kids... Probably, you know, they're going to want to see the X-Men movie, so you got to take them to see that. I mean, you know, the same crowd's going to see Maleficent, and now you've got How to Train Your Dragon 2 out at the same time. You know, it's almost the same problem that Edge of Tomorrow's having.
Yeah. I mean, $50 million still a good solid opening weekend.
It is respectable.
Probably cost them, I don't know, I'm going to say around somewhere between $100 and $150 million to make this thing.
But the movie that beat it this week... was in 1,000 less theaters.
But how do you like them apples?
So.
How do you like that? Well, that happens sometimes.
No.
That happens sometimes.
And that movie was 22 Jump Street.
20 dose.
Had a weekend gross of $60 million. Same as total. Budget is unlisted.
Didn't say a lot of unlisted budgets here, man. What's up with the... Where's the lack of reporting, box office mojo? You guys getting lazy for the summer? Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead... and assume, because they did say in 22 Jump Street,
it was more
that they doubled the budget.
It. Yeah, that part was so much fun.
In 22 Jump Street had a budget of $42 million, ended up making $138 million on an opening weekend of $36 million.
Yeah,
so opening weekend here of $60 million, according to this other list that I was looking at over. It was the all-time opening weekends for R-rated films.
Okay.
22 Jump Street, $60 million, is number 5 opening weekend of all time.
Nice.
The second highest opening weekend for an R-rated comedy behind, want to take a guess?
21 Jump Street?
No. Made more than...
I don't 60. Remember.
Hangover Part 2 had an $86 million opening weekend.
Nice.
So that's the that was the number 2 or number 3 one. So this is big money for them, $60 million. If it can make like $150, $180.
Oh, it totally will.
You know that.
I think this movie is going to be out for word of mouth. I mean, as comedy sequels go, it's damn good, Chris.
You know, I've been saying comedy sequels there are pretty much impossible. You can't make one as good as the original.
Well, your buddies the duo of Lord Miller.
Lord Miller.
They seem to have broke the mold, my friend.
The team of Lord and Miller.
I think they did it. You know, I mean, as a standalone movie, I don't know, as a standalone, but as a sequel, and literally a direct sequel, and yeah, they really play on the fact that it's a sequel.
Yeah.
It was just as good as the first one.
They take it head on. They take on head on the fact that they're doing a comedy sequel. That,
oh, and
that,
they, and
that
they,
it's being done for money.
Dude, the first 10 minutes, that whole little spiel where they were talking about what was going on in the police department, that's what happened with the movie. I mean,
they did the same thing in the first movie. Yeah. When Offerman sits them down and it's like, this is the idea, this is what we're doing. You know, no one believes in it, so you guys...
Exactly.
You know, blah, blah. They brought... And that's the thing. They took what worked in the first one, and they revisited it in ways that worked again.
And they stated that this is the way it works.
Yeah, they're like, people don't want you to do something different.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah. They keep pointing out that it's the same time as the first time around. It's so funny. I guess because of the way they approach it that way, so knowingly.
Yeah.
I don't know, just something about the Lord Miller team of writing and directing these guys. It's just...
it's good.
Two movies this year, Lego Movie and 22 yeah. Jump Street. They knocked them both out of the park. It's pretty crazy.
Correct.
That's pretty wild. Yeah. Pretty crazy, wild stuff there.
Well, I mean, just about everything that they've done so far. I mean, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Very happy with them.
21 Jump Street.
Very good.
Funny.
Yes.
Lego Movie.
Great.
Amazing.
Love it.
22 Jump Street.
It was awesome.
Very, very good.
Yeah, I would put it on par with the first one.
Exactly. So, I mean, right now, it's name so something that they haven't done that has not just, like, either exceeded or, you know, unknowingly exceeded your expectations.
Yeah. Isn't that, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why they're, like, my new favorites.
Yeah.
I'm fans of Lord Miller.
Lord Miller.
I'm fans of saying Lord Miller. The coolest directing duo name since Powell and Pressburger.
That doesn't sound very cool.
Well, you know, that's... They were good, though. Powell and Pressburg.
Very sure they were. It's no Lord Miller.
No, they were not any Lord Miller. Lord Miller. 20. Yeah, if you enjoy 21 Jump Street...
You'll enjoy 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, go see 22 Jump Street. It's really good. It's really... They're both really funny. Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
You know, the more Channing Tatum movies I see, Chris,
the better he gets. He's getting better.
I like this guy.
He just keeps getting better too.
He really
does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at his earlier stuff, it's, you know, stiffer and not as good. Yeah. He's more comfortable with you know.
But even though, and nowadays he almost plays up that stiffness. Like some of the funniest parts.
What
was
he talking about? Like I can't improv and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some of the funniest part of this movie was because of the fact that he was a little stiff.
Yeah. Him doing like some bad. Trying to be undercover, bad acting stuff.
Yeah.
Good old Tatum. They're a good team, Hill and Tatum.
They really are.
Tatum and Hill.
Although they are, they poke fun of it in the movie too. Jonah Hill does look old as fuck.
Well, yeah,
right
yeah.
now
it's like a 30-year-old creator. Yeah. Got the crow's feet already.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is pretty funny. 22 Jump Street. Great movie. Go see it, peoples. Enjoy it.
It's quite possibly the first successful. I mean. Mega successful comedy sequel.
I would think so. Critically and commercially, it seems that way. You know, a lot of people don't like that Hangover 2.
It's okay.
But this one is this one's good. Okay. So here we go. Funnily enough, on DVD this week, coming out brand new on DVD.
Yes,
the Lego Movie.
Oh, I can't wait. I want to see.
Want to rewatch it.
So bad.
The team of Lord Miller are back.
So great.
Animation for the kids.
If you guys haven't seen the Lego Movie, you need to go out and rent it or buy it or whatever, because it's one of those movies.
This just shows that Lord Miller can do it for the kids and for the adults, because the 22 Jump Streets for sure are rated.
Oh, yeah.
Faux show. Don't take the kids.
No.
I know I heard kids in that theater.
Oh, sure. Yeah, totally.
What's wrong with you parents, man?
Lots of things.
There are some things in that movie you don't want your kids to see.
No.
But yet there are parents in there that wanted their kids to see these things.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Shout out to all the dads out there. But Lego Movie, that's unabashedly for everyone. Anyone can watch it.
Oh, yeah,
you
totally.
You don't got to worry about offending
whether
grandma's
sensibilities. Whether you're 3 years old or 85 mm-hmm, or anywhere in between.
Especially anywhere in between. Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. Also coming out on DVD, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, Ralph Fiennes says fuck a lot.
And it's funny when he does.
I love it.
It's funny when he does. Wes Anderson's latest, and it's a good one.
It is. It's one of his... His last couple were, I mean, they definitely weren't my favorites. But this one, you know, the more I think about it, the more it might be becoming my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. There you go. It's a good one. It's definitely great. Well, you get a chance to watch it again when it comes out on DVD and see how you feel about it. And coming out also, another movie I really enjoyed, the latest David Gordon Green movie, Joe.
Yes.
With Nicolas Cage.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. Really like that one. So those are three great movies on DVD this week, guys. You can check that out on your Redbox or your Netflix or wherever the hell else you watch movies. Where do people get their movies with no Blockbuster these days?
The intertubes.
Some people still use the Netflix.
Or the streaming stuff. I mean, there's a billion streaming
Does a DVD guy at the barbershop have current movies or only movies in theaters?
I don't know. My barbershop doesn't have a DVD guy there.
Oh, you're going to the wrong barbershop then. I haven't been to the barbershop in so long. I forgot what they're like inside. Do they still sit you in chairs, or
yes.
Do they have space age barber chairs now?
No zero G chairs yet.
No zero G. Well, then I'm not going to the barbershop until I get some zero G chairs.
All right, word.
And what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, Think Like a Man 2.
You Think Like a Man, also.
With Kevin Hart and Gabriel Union and a whole bunch of people that were in the first one, because they're just trying to make that movie again.
Steve Harvey's making that Think Like a Man money.
Yep.
Man. Good for him.
Also coming out, Jersey Boys. Mm-hmm. About four seasons.
Yay.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Apparently, for a little while, it was being developed by Senor Spielbergo.
Man. It would have been a different movie.
And then, yeah, it would have been a different movie. He dropped out. Eastwood picked it up. Spielbergo also developed, was it Million Dollar Baby? He worked on that for a little while.
With Clint Eastwood picked up.
Eastwood picked that up. And Senor Spielbergo most recently dropped out of American Sniper with Bradley Cooper, which is based on a book by a guy, a real-life sniper, who claimed like 250 kills. That one got picked up by
Clint Eastwood. Man, so
for some reason he keeps getting his leftovers.
I was about to say, so Spielberg drops out and Clint Eastwood comes with his mop bucket and it's like, it's mine.
He's like, now I'll make this mine. And he does a good job, you know.
Calls a couple people zipper heads. I mean, call it a day.
Million Dollar Baby made a bunch of money. Million Dollar Baby and Gran Torino, the funny you reference that. Those are his two highest grossing films of his career as a director.
And both are Steven Spielberg's sloppy leftovers.
And I don't know if Gran Torino was. I don't think that one was. But those are, you know, his leg ladder. Those are two of his most recent films.
No.
Guy's been making movies since the 60s. He's getting some of his most financial success later in life. You know, that doesn't happen very often. Usually it's the other way around. So that's why he gets to keep making movies. He's made almost a movie a year for the last, like, 40 years.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of crazy. But actually, you know, you look at his filmography.
No.
He just cranks them out. Jersey Boys, adaptation of a long-running, very popular Broadway play. I think it's his first time making an outright musical.
Of sorts.
Although his third movie involving music in one way or another as a director.
No.
And, you know, it's I see it just because of the Eastwood, and it's a popular play, and see how it works. Music's okay. Well, yeah, I don't find Four Seasons bad. Makes me think of watching Goodfellas.
No.
You know? So I'll be seeing that, I guess. Maybe something else will come out in limited release next weekend that'll give us more options.
You mean like maybe Third Person, the new Paul Haggis flick?
Oh, read the description on that one. I think I saw the trailer for it.
Three interlocking love stories involving three couples in three cities, Rome, Paris, and New York. It's the one where Liam Neeson's the writer, but and you're watching his book that he's writing being played out by three separate people. It's got Liam Neeson, Mia Kunis, Adrian Brody, Olivia Wilde. We've seen the trailers.
Yeah, I know. I saw the trailer for it. Paul Haggis's version of Stranger Than Fiction, I guess.
No.
I don't like Paul Haggis.
And the only other thing that might come out is the new Roman Polanski, Venus and Fur. But it looks
like. Oh, no, yeah, it's not coming out here next week. The Rover
The rover might come.
Yeah, like Michaud's The Rover might come out.
I hope so, because that trailer looks awesome.
It was a good trailer. It looks like a, I want to say fun movie.
I never saw Cosmopolis with Mr. Pattinson.
That's on the Netflix.
I know.
If you got an hour and a half to sit down and listen to people talk, most of it, they're talking English.
No.
I don't know if you understand what they're saying.
Word.
A lot of it. Especially when Jay Baruchel sits down with them in the limo, and they start talking about like the market and stuff, and dollars are rats.
Sweet.
And it's just maybe we shouldn't.
Maybe
I should rewatch
theaters.
That one. I should rewatch Cosmopolis. All right. Well, here we go. You know what? It's let's take a little break here. I got a couple songs here from the
got some tunes
to play here as a quick break.
What kind of tunes, buddy?
I got funny. We were talking about Wes Anderson. Picked a Bob Dylan song that plays at the end of Royal Tenenbaums.
Nice.
At the end, or I think it plays at the end. The song Wigwam. Wigwam.
Okay.
Wigwam. I don't know how I'm saying that. Might be saying that wrong. And now I'm going to follow up with another Bob Dylan song. This one off of the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack, Farewell.
Double Bob.
So a little bit of Bob Dylan for you guys. I'm not really a Bob Dylan fan. Were you? Are you ever getting into the guy? You know, some people that are like super into him, obviously.
No, not really.
Pretty legendary in his world.
I'm sure he is.
But
I give no shits.
But these are good songs, though. These are good songs. I enjoy them, so I think you all enjoy them, too. We'll be back in the second half of the show. So here we go. So, it's the cinema of the Crespo D. So, it's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? And we're out.
Oh, it's fairly well, my darling. I'm leaving in the first hour of the morn. I'm bound for the Bay of Mexico, or maybe the coast of California. So it's fare thee well, my own true love. We'll meet another day, another time. It ain't the leaving that's a grieving me, but my darling who's bound to stay behind. Still might strike it lucky on a highway going west. Now I'm traveling on a path beaten trail. So it's fare thee well, my own true love. We'll meet another day, another time. It ain't the leaving that's a grieving me, but my darling, who's bound to stay behind?
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Thank you. Welcome back to episode 75 of Cinema Crespo.
Yes. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the second.
Welcome back. I didn't say welcome back to the second half.
Welcome back to the second half, Chris.
I didn't say welcome back to the second half. I said welcome back to the show. Because, you know, it was a break. People got up, they went to the bathroom, they got a sandwich, smoked a cigarette, smoked other things. Now they're sitting down. Back to the second half of the show.
Why is everybody always getting sandwiches with you? It's kind of weird.
Well, because I think.
Do you love sandwiches?
Yeah, whenever I can. You got a problem with sandwiches?
No.
Got a problem with sandwiches, Drew?
Maybe. What if I said I did?
Well, I'd like to expound.
I got nothing.
Well, there you go. Can't have any problem. No one got a problem with sandwiches. It's impossible.
Well, no. I mean, if it's on certain types of bread, like
I'm talking about the concept of sandwiches.
The concept, it's a great concept.
Thank you.
Certain sandwiches, though.
Oh, yeah. Not all sandwiches are created equal. We'll leave that discussion up to Sandwich Cast. We'll start a new podcast.
Podcast about sandwiches.
Just sandwiches. And we'll every episode will be about a different sandwich. Different types of sandwiches, brands of sandwiches. We can do one episode that's just ham and cheese in general, and then one that's like about an Arby's hot ham and cheese, and then, you know, one like a Publix ham and cheese.
My hot ham and cheese bread is better than Arby's.
One episode about your hot ham and cheese. We'll do episodes where, here we go. This is Sandwich Cast. All right, here we go. Pitching your Sandwich Cast. Sure. We'll go out. We'll get a sandwich from somewhere. Right? And then you gotta make a sandwich that competes with that sandwich.
So would this be like a video podcast? Because we're not getting that. Audio doesn't. No, it's not gonna work. Audio.
We describe the sandwiches. What are we talking about? We describe them as we eat them. And then we have to have a different judge on every episode. The judge is the one
fail.
Who gets the two types
it's
of.
A fail.
How is that a fail?
Nope. Because talking about food doesn't work.
Yeah, it does. People talk about food all the time. People talk about food on shitty morning radio shows. They talk about food on podcasts. You know how many food podcasts are out there?
It's ridiculous.
Well, it's a ridiculous world, Drew.
I'm saying I think it would be done better with video. That's all I'm saying.
Fine, we'll make it a video podcast. God.
I'm just saying. People, you eat with your eyes, buddy, not with your ears.
God. Actually.
Eat with your mouth.
I eat with my butthole.
Oh, you do that that backwards stuff like from South Park?
Yeah, that was a pretty gross episode. I was disgusting. So, all right, Sandwich Cast. Just think about it. We'll come back to Sandwich Cast later. Because
no,
first.
No, we won't.
We'll come back to it
later. Not ever.
We'll come back to it later.
No.
in the future.
Not gonna happen.
But first, I almost got you there. We gotta do this little Cinema Crespedito thing that we're doing here. The plugs. Drew, where can people find you online?
At AntiHero419 on Twitter and Instagram.
And Cinema Crespedito on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram. That's my new app I'm working on, Instagram. What it does is, if you're like a student, especially in college, and you find you have like a paper due or a huge test, and it's like the last night, and you need to cram, you need to stay up all night and get as much info in as possible for before, you know what I'm talking about? Instagram is a listing of your local Adderall dealers, and they'll hook you up with the nearest person who has Adderall. You go and you buy some Adderall, and then you take the drug, and you stay up all night, and you cram.
There's already something called Instagram.
Is there?
Yep.
Is it an Adderall list of people who sell Adderall?
No, all it is, it takes all your Instagram photos and puts them into like, I'll show you. Look.
You crams them together? Instagram.
Yep.
Aww. No wonder mine didn't get approved.
That would be why.
Damn it. Back to the drawing board. I'll be an app millionaire one of these days. Either an app millionaire or a podcast millionaire. I'm going to figure it out.
You're not going to make any money podcasting.
I'm going to figure it out. We're going to make tons of money.
One of these days.
All right, here we go. So let's get into some movie news here. Warner Brothers, DC. You know, they see Marvel. They see what Marvel's doing. They see all that money they're making. Like, we want to get in on that kind of racket. How come we're not making movies like that? So guess what? Someone leaked Warner Brothers' upcoming slate.
Okay, and what do we got?
For DC movies, between May 2016 and May 2018, in a span of 2 years, they have 7 movies planned over the next 2 years, starting May 2016 with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, we've already gone into that in depth.
We know about that one. 2 months later, Shazam.
Okay.
That Christmas, Sandman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That has some potential to be a really weird, twisted, fucked up little movie.
Yeah, it could
be. Or series of movies.
Somehow has to fit into this slate of movies, though.
Does Gaiman have anything to do with it?
I don't know.
I mean, he did write it.
He has to, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You think so.
He should. One would hope.
Alan Moore had nothing to do with the Watchmen movie.
Well, that still turned out okay.
Well, they did have Dave Gibbons there.
Well, there we go.
May 2017, kicking off the next summer season. Justice League.
Whatever, don't care.
2 months later, Wonder Woman.
Don't care even less.
That Christmas, untitled Green Lantern Flash team-up movie.
Okay, awesome. Bunch of movies that I don't care about and a potentially god-awful Sandman.
And then May 2018, Man of Steel 2. So they're going the Iron Man route with that one. Called Superman vs. Batman, Dawn of Justice. Hold on a second. Wait, I didn't say that right. I didn't say that right. Superman vs. Batman, Dawn of Justice.
So eventually we are getting a Man of Steel 2.
We are getting a Man of Steel 2 because the Man of Steel 2 movie got turned into a Justice League prequel.
Well, at least they didn't completely abandon the idea of a Man of Steel 2, which is what I wanted to begin with.
Yeah, I wanted that, but now we got to wait 3 years for that shit. Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes, it is.
And then furthering developments on the Superman vs. Batman Dawn of Justice prequel Justice League movie. Guess what character confirmed for at least a cameo?
Martian Manhunter.
No.
And who?
Good old Aquaman. Just squeezing Aquaman in.
Oh, I hope they have fun with that.
They already picked their Aquaman as well. They have an actor.
And he is?
Someone you would never guess in a million years. Someone no one would guess. It's Jason Momoa. The dude from, he did the Conan remake, and he was in the first season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, well, you know, I could see they're probably going to do him.
He did that Stallone movie.
Well, they're probably going to do new Aquaman then, where somehow Aquaman lost his hand, and he's got like a trident as in hand, but he's got super long hair and super long beard. So that makes sense because he does, you know, long hair and long
beard.
So
they're going with giant, jacked up, long hair, long beard Aquaman.
Yeah, with a trident for an arm.
And this is according to the website hitfix.com. They've confirmed not only is Jason Momoa playing Aquaman, they already know how his character pops up in the movie.
Sweet.
The context of the character. Remember Man of Steel?
Uh-huh.
The world engine thing that was dubstepping the world?
Yes.
There was one in Metropolis, and then there was one on the other side of the world.
Uh-huh.
That just happened to be the Indian Ocean. The ocean.
Uh-oh.
So apparently Aquaman is all pissed off at Superman for the world engine stuff because of the damage it did to the ocean, the Indian Ocean.
All right.
So he's going to show up at Superman's doorstep with like a dead dolphin over his shoulder.
And he's going to like slop it on his front porch and like, be like, yo.
Hey, you got to answer for this. I'm Aquaman. And then Superman's going to be all like, I'm Superman.
So, man, Aquaman must be in, like, constant battle with the Japanese.
I know, right? No, no one show him the cove. That would piss him off. Let's keep it going with some comic booky type news. Going over to Marvel, you're doing that Daredevil series
mm-hmm.
on the Netflix.
Yeah.
I talked recently about how they got their Daredevil, and it's some random dude who's some British guy. That's he's fine. On Boardwalk Empire. They got themselves a kingpin.
Okay.
Someone you like.
Who is it?
It's, how would I describe this guy? He's you see him on TV? You've seen him on TV a whole bunch.
Okay.
Very awkward.
Okay.
Strange delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Always battled his weight.
Big ol' Fat Vinny D.
Big ol' Fat Vinny D.
Yeah! Oh, I'm going to watch it just because of that.
Vincent D'Onofrio is kingpin on the Marvel Studios show Daredevil.
You know, seriously, as long as they distance themselves, you know, I was never really a big fan of Daredevil, mm-hmm. personally. Mm-hmm. But in the early 90s, I had this weird little, it was almost like the Wolverine origin thing, mm-hmm. but it was for Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically him being, you know, as a kid, being trained by this blind janitor how to whoop ass all over the place.
By a blind janitor.
And I thought it was really cool. I think it was Frank Miller, that's why.
Oh, there you go. Oh.
Oh, man.
There you go, Drew. Here we go. Here we go. Look at that. We still got game five. This is from last week, still. See, now I don't even remember what's in here. Game 5. Game 3. Game 4 and game 2. So 2, 3, 4, 5. Drew. Pick your poison. We're doing another sparring round. Drew Skogren versus the world.
Trace.
Game 3. Here we go. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Hope you are ready, sir. Because this week for your sparring round, to keep that trivia mind muscle flexed, we're going to play a round of Ice Ice Gary.
All right.
I tell you the movie title. You tell me if it features Ice Cube,
Ice Tea,
or Gary Oldman.
All right. Oh, God damn it. Gary Oldman could probably play both of those guys and be convincing.
There you go. So here we go. You ready? Number one, Ice Tea, Ice Cube, or Gary Oldman? Johnny Mnemonic.
Gary Oldman?
No, Ice-T.
Man, Ice-T.
Number two, The Contender.
Ice Cube.
Gary Oldman.
Damn it.
Gary Oldman. Number three, Torque.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, that's correct. Number four, Romeo is Bleeding.
What? Ice-T?
Gary Oldman. Number five, Higher Learning.
Ice Cube.
That's correct. Number six, Surviving the Game.
Ice-T.
That's correct. Number seven, Criminal Law.
Gary Oldman.
That's correct. Number eight, Anaconda.
Ice Cube.
Number nine, that's correct. Number nine, New Jack City.
Ice-T.
That's correct. And number 10,
Murder in the First.
Gary Oldman?
That's correct. Yeah, started off a little shaky.
Well, because all those movies that I haven't seen were the ones I guessed on.
One, two, three, four, five, six, eight, seven. Yeah, you had 7 out of 10 right.
Oh,
on Ice Gary. That was a fun one.
Not bad.
You really just wanted to call a game Ice Gary. Gary Oldman, just pick Gary Oldman because that had to fit.
Yeah.
Could have done Ice Larry. Who's the Larry David? Yeah, that wouldn't work so well. Lawrence Fishburne.
Ice Larry.
Stay tuned for the future. future round of Ice Larry. That's coming one day. So, Daredevil series. It's going to be debuting sometime in 2015. 13-episode run. And it also was presumed that Kingpin, like that character, might cross over in some of the other series that they're doing over
whatever,
there.
Whatever. I like Fat Vinny D.
Yeah, any reason to see Fat Vinny D. I don't know if I need to read the whole article. The confirmation that Guillermo del Toro is writing Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah, heard about that.
Heard about that. It's not a prequel. It's not based on the first wave of invasions. Del Toro said he was never interested in telling that story, but that he and co-writer Zach Penn, without saying how, they say that they cracked a way to come up with a sequel that takes it into all different directions and stuff, okay. And new ideas.
That's fine. I mean, as long as there's, you know, giant robots fighting something.
Yeah, giant something fighting giant something.
No.
It's got robots and monsters. Still got to...
Could be robots, robots.
Robots, robots. How about monsters, monsters?
Oh. That works too.
It won't be a prequel, but a sequel that picks back up with Raleigh and Mako.
Okay.
I'm going for very new, very crazy ideas in the second one, which are very different from the first one, but you will get really great spectacle, Del Toro confirmed.
I like new, I like crazy. Especially when it comes from the mind of Del Toro.
New and crazy indeed. Speaking of new and crazy, WWE Studios. They've been doing horror movies for a while now, actually.
Yes, they have. God-awful ones.
But still, they've been doing them.
Well, yeah.
And here they go.
The Marine with John Cena.
Co-producing a remake with Lionsgate. A remake of Leprechaun. They're doing Leprechaun: Origins. Directed by Zap Lebowski, written by Harris Wilkinson, WWE wrestler Dylan Hornswoggle Postal plays the lead character who terrorizes two American couples on vacation in Ireland. Leprechaun Origins, it's VOD August 26th, followed by a Blu-ray release on September 30th.
This guy's a little person, isn't he?
I guess so. Hey, good for him getting some work.
Oh, yeah, but it's still...
Some guy named Hornswoggle. He gets to play Leprechaun. I think the guy who played Leprechaun is still alive.
Huh.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Warwick Davis. He was in Willow.
Oh. Really? He was Leprechaun?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that makeup was good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The best thing about those Leprechaun movies, the Leprechaun makeup.
Yeah.
Although, best thing about Leprechaun 4 in the Hood is when Coolio shows up. And he's in the church of a doorway, and he looks in the room, and he's like, huh? And then he walks off, and you never see him again. Fascinating movie, Leprechaun in the Hood. Fascinating film. Pulled this article here about how Hispanic audiences are in the driver's seat in Hollywood. They're starting to make more movies that are going to be geared towards the Hispanic market.
Well, it's because it's becoming a larger and larger market.
It's a larger market, and...
because they don't believe in birth control.
And while, hey, that's racist. While Hispanics represent 17.5% of the population, but contribute 19% of U.S. box office revenue.
It's not racist. I'm just saying that they're highly religious, and their religion doesn't allow it.
So you're implying just because they're a certain race, that means they're also religious.
Well, chances are.
That's racism. That's racist.
So be it.
All right, here we go. I mean, it's not like that offensive of racism. Racism doesn't have to be offensive necessarily.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I can do offensive if you want me to.
No. I don't. And, you know, this is always the old studio execs are like, oh, Hispanics do, you know, Hispanics go see movies too. Let's make more movies with Hispanics in them. Mm-hmm. Like, duh, of course.
Meanwhile, there's something like, remember Paranormal Activities, Paranormal's Activities.
The marked one.
The marked ones. Was surrounded by a whole bunch of Hispanic people. Yeah. Where pretty much I was just, it's like, we want to make a Paranormal Activity movie for Hispanics, so we'll throw in some reggaeton and guns.
Yep.
Like, thanks to that, guys. That's really
racist.
That's racist, Drew. And that movie didn't do very well. It made like $30 million of all the Paranormal Activity movies. I think it made the least amount of money of all of them.
Oh, wow.
So, really, you can't just like crank out something that's Spanish tinge and expect people to just like it.
Yeah.
It's got to actually be decent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heaven forbid you actually make a decent piece of entertainment instead of just like, oh, we'll just throw Hispanics in there and they'll go see it.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, what was that one movie? It was heavily Hispanic. The one about the people on the train.
People on the train. El Tren.
No, there was this guy. They were traveling on trains a lot. What was the name of it? I keep seeing it on the Netflix all the time.
Sin Nombre?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that was just a good movie. It just happened to be mostly Hispanic.
What was the Hispanic director, I think.
Well, there we go. Yeah. I mean, if they can crank out movies like that, I mean, hell, I'll go see them.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Speaking of cranking out movies, Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious 7.
Okay.
Got some problems.
Already?
We got some problems. Sources say the actor has been so difficult that some on-set have fantasized about using the facial replacement technology being deployed to put Paul Walker in the film for Diesel as well.
Well, you know, welcome. Now you can be in a movie and not even be in a movie, Chris.
Vin spent a whole day in his trailer one day, says one insider. The next day, they waited 4 hours for him. He called a meeting of studio execs to his trailer for 2.5 hours to say, what the fuck am I doing here? The next day, work was done with doubles. Another source confirms that progress has been frustrating with the crew suffering from low morale.
Well, maybe since the death of Paul, no one's into it anymore.
Apparently, they're having a lot of problems. Vin Diesel is like where things are going, and this, you know, could be a lot of trouble here for the Fast and Furious folk, for the Fast and Furious 7 people. This is from the Hollywood Reporter, so according to them.
I mean, whatever. So what? So the Fast and Furious franchise explodes in its own face. What the hell does...
explodes in its own face like a Porsche hitting a light post.
I mean, what the hell do I really care? I wasn't necessarily looking forward to these movies. I mean, I was going to see them only because I've seen them all, but...
They were just getting good, man.
They were starting to get good, but maybe they were never meant to be good, Chris.
Maybe. It's very, very deep of it. Maybe they were, like, never meant to be good, man. Okay, let me go up here to the Twitter. I always get questions from people on the Twit. Questions, topics, ideas for what to talk about. For example, Rage Against Twit on Twitter pointed me to this article on Cinema Blend about how Rooney Mara, Girl mm-hmm. Dragon Tattoo and all that stuff, she got cast in the reimagining of the Peter Pan story.
As?
She's playing Tiger Lily, which is a Native Indian character.
Okay.
So obviously now people are upset because the white Rooney, Lily White Rooney Mara is playing an Indian character, Native Indian character. Very rarely are there Native Indian characters portrayed in film in any way, positive or negative. And then when there's finally a role for one, let's just go ahead and give it to a white person.
Well, I mean, are there any Native American actor or actresses who are on par with her?
How do we know when they're not given a chance to be in movies? They're not given the same chances as Rooney Mara is. You know, how do we know that there aren't great Native American men out there with skill, ready to act, ready to blow our faces off with their acting talent? We will never know because the movies aren't made featuring these actors. You know, we get movies featuring white men, and every now and then white women. Just that's just the way it is. It's just structural, man. Just so be it. Just gotta live with it. You know, I mean, hey, I'll just stay out of the sun. Maybe I'll get more work.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to act. If I was trying to act, I'd stay out of the sun. Maybe shave this down to a goatee. Can't be scaring people.
Get rid of those locks.
Get rid of the locks. The luscious. No, this is where my power comes from. That's where
all my. I can't power wait till you can start putting it in a ponytail.
No, top knot, Japanese style top knot.
There we go.
Like that up here.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, apparently Amazon, they think now they're like they're a big bad dog on the block. They can do whatever they want.
Okay.
So lately they got into this big dispute with Hatchet Publishing, where pretty much they're not getting as much money as they want, I think, from Hatchet. There's a dispute over money between the publisher and Amazon.
Okay.
So what Amazon has started doing to dig at the publisher and to get them to concede, they stopped taking pre-orders on books that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
They've slowed down delivery of their books. Now people order books from Amazon for these certain titles, and it takes like weeks to get there.
Seriously?
Instead of days. Yeah, they're playing small ball, you know, dirty tactics with the publisher. Started doing it now with Warner Brothers. Now Warner Brothers, certain movies like the Lego movie, you can't pre-order it. Before with Amazon, you can pre-order whatever you want. No. Now movies like Lego movie, you can't pre-order it. You can sign up for alerts and they'll tell you when it's for sale.
Mm-hmm.
No word yet on whether Warner Brothers has started delaying the shipment Amazon has started delaying shipment of Warner Brothers titles like they are with the books, with the Hatchet books. But Amazon, they're trying. They want to be the everything store.
Well, that's fine.
But now they want to, you know, tell the providers what to do with their product and how much money they can make on it.
I mean, that's all well and good, but does Amazon realize that when these people buy these products and receive it not in a timely fashion, chances are they'll attribute that to Amazon and not the publisher?
You would think so.
Like, if I ordered a book from Amazon and they're in dispute with this publisher,
mm-hmm.
and it takes 4 weeks to get here,
mm-hmm.
I'm not pissed at the publisher. I'm angry with Amazon.
Yeah, how come you guys aren't doing your job?
Yeah.
I could have gone to a store by now.
Exactly.
And picked this up. It was supposed to be more convenient.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking, man.
They're stupid.
Apparently. As well as being slave drivers.
Mm-hmm. Because,
just look up online, Amazon warehouse working conditions. Google that, people. Check out those stories. The opposite of the happiest place on earth is an Amazon warehouse. Apparently. I got some questions on Facebook. You can always ask me questions. Look me up on Facebook. I'm Chris Crespo. I'm there. I'm in the yellow pages, but it's not the yellow pages. It's the blue pages. I'm in the blue pages. Look me up.
I thought Blue Pages was just like emergency services.
Government stuff?
Government emergency services, yeah.
I'm on the Facebook pages. Ray Mello writes, since we have the World Cup and the NBA Finals going on, talk about some of the greatest sports movies of all time to rent or see.
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. That gets one of these. Love Cool Runnings. The great John Candy, Leon Robinson, before he started just calling himself Leon, and that was before he just dropped off the face of the planet.
Yep.
What happened to Leon Robinson? He was in everything for a minute there.
He kissed eggs, right?
He kissed eggs?
Was he the one who was kissing the egg
No, that's Senka Coffee.
Okay.
Played by Dougie Doug. Remember Dougie Doug?
Yes.
Dougie Doug's a weird guy.
Yeah.
Dougie Doug did that second... Or third, whatever, that the Bill Cosby show from like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That weird Bill Cosby show where like they lived in a house where it was obviously on a set.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the set, like just outside the window of the front of the house, it was like a city street. And they had extras walking back and forth like it was a busy street. But it was obviously a set. It was so weird. It was the strangest thing. And Dougie Doug, he played a character who was like a neighbor or something. He was always popping by and he's just so strange.
Nice.
And he's the one who was always kissing the egg.
Uh-huh.
But that was his idea.
Probably.
I bet she was like, hey, I want my character to have a lucky egg
mm-hmm.
that he makes everyone else kiss.
Mwah.
And then he kisses it. And then that angry guy is like, hey, let me kiss your lucky egg. And he kisses it.
Yep.
The angry guy.
Yep, the angry guy. I remember the angry guy. Friday Night Lights.
That's a popular one. People like that one. Peter Berg.
Yeah.
It's gone on to be a very, very popular TV show. Even more popular than the movie.
Seen the TV show.
Yeah. That's where that Taylor Kish guy came from.
Oh.
Yeah. People are wondering where the hell that guy came out. Because he's another guy who's... He's going to be like Leon Robinson. In 10, 20 years, people are going to look back and be like,
who the fuck was that guy?
What happened to that Taylor Kitsch guy? He was in a bunch of movies and obviously he was gone. sports movies. I love baseball, so I would go baseball movies. We already mentioned Major League.
Mm-hmm.
Major League 2, not so much. Major League 3, they had one part that made me laugh.
Help.
That was in the
trailer. Based on Moneyball?
Moneyball is great. Moneyball is a great movie if you don't like baseball or sports. It's just a well-made movie. Any Given Sunday?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Good old Oliver Stone with Al Pacino.
That's a good one.
Bull Durham and The Natural, both 80s. Field of Dreams, also. Sticking with baseball. Golf, Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Some people like Tim Cup. I'm not a big Tim Cup fan.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, there you go, with the golf. Hockey, got slap Slapshot.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. And apparently a lot of people like this movie that's called Goon. This Goon movie that's on
Netflix. Everybody tells me that I should see it, and I still haven't gotten around to it.
I've heard good things about it, so yeah, that might be worth checking out. Basketball movies, White Man Can't Jump, Above the Rim.
Blue Chips was not that good.
Blue Chips, yeah. I had the novelization of Blue Chips.
Nice.
When they write the books based on the screenplay. I got that through a Scholastic thing.
Man.
Yeah. Well, they're basketball movies, Hoosiers, Gene Hackman, and the guy who died recently, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Rollerball.
Sport of the future. Sport of the future movie.
Sport of the future.
I mean, if we're going Sport of the Future, but Speed Racer.
Speed Racer, Sport of the Future. Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about Rollerball with James Caan from the 70s, not the remake.
No. Speed Racer is a racing movie.
Soccer, Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And
any other soccer? Ladybugs.
Bend it. Ladybugs!
we're
going to end it there with Ladybugs. That's the one. That's the winner. Rodney Dangerfield. And Jonathan Branson?
I don't remember the fuck his name was.
The dude who killed himself?
Guy, yeah. He was in Sequest DSV.
Yes. With the guy who shot Jaws.
Yeah.
On Facebook, Justin Davis writes, "The Birdman trailer of the triumphant return of Michael Keaton." You haven't seen the trailer. The movie called Birdman.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a new Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. I think that's how you say his last name. I might be butchering that last name. His new movie. It's a guy who did 21 Grams and Amores Perros and Babel. And Birdman is a movie about kind of an older, washed-up actor who he previously had some worldwide fame by playing a superhero called Birdman.
Uh-huh.
But now he's an older guy and he's trying to get his mojo back. Michael Keaton plays the guy. And the character is Birdman, you know. So it works. It's Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Because he was Batman.
Batman, yeah.
Now he's playing Birdman.
Nice.
Some people are saying it's kind of like, this might do for Michael Keaton what the wrestler work, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really tap into something that he knows about and use them really well. When was the last time Michael Keaton was the lead of a movie?
It's been a while.
Jack Frost.
No, never saw it.
Is that even the right name, Jack Frost? I think it's the right name. Where he died and came back as a snowman.
Man, didn't we see some weird Michael Keaton movie on the Netflix or something?
On the Netflix? He was in RoboCop. He had a smaller role in RoboCop.
It wasn't that. This was a couple years ago.
I'm trying to think of one of him as a lead, though. On Netflix?
I think he was a lead.
Remember he had that one?
Baseball.
Oh, that's like Game 6 movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that even that movie is now like 7-8 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. Even that one's a little older now.
I mean, that's the last time I saw him in a newer lead role.
In the lead role. Lately, it's been a lot of smaller things. So it's cool that he'll be in the lead in this one. Hopefully, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
This guy is a good director. It's Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. Again, I think I'm... Because his last name has like... There's the tilde thing with that makes the N-ia sound, but also has like accent marks, and there's double R's in there.
Nice.
And it's... come on.
Sweet.
Come on, bro. Change your name. Don't change your name. Oh, that's racist. I can't pronounce your name, so change it. So change it to something I can pronounce. Like Smith.
Oh.
Jinx. You didn't say Jinx.
No.
It was like that part in... 22 Jump Street.
Well, those couple parts.
At least we're not finishing each other's sandwiches.
Damn straight. It's my sandwich. You can't have it.
You can't have my sandwich. Sandwich cast. All right. It'll be a video cast.
No.
Okay. I've given in. I've given in, Drew.
No.
It'll be a video cast.
No. No.
So do you want it to be like a show? Like just a straight up show?
No.
No. It'll be a video cast.
No.
Right? Get a different sandwich.
Not gonna happen.
From a different place. You make your version.
I'm not interested.
We'll bring in a different guest. Then we all get to eat sandwiches.
Not interested.
And it'll be brought to you by Sandwiches.
So now I have to open Sandwiches.
Well, yeah, it's all part of the master plan,
and then
Drew.
It has to turn a profit so we can take that money and put it into something else.
Well, it's gonna start turning a profit when we put out the sandwich cast and people start seeing the great sandwiches you make. And we're like, if you want to try Drusa Cogburn's delicious sandwiches, go to sandwiches.
But we don't have sandwiches.
Oh, okay, so all right. So we'll open up sandwiches.
It's going to take a while, dude.
It'll take a while. And we'll open the sandwiches.
Are you on a stained kick today or something?
No, just, you know. You're the one that keeps bringing it up.
Anytime I say the word while, you say...
Not just while. No, not just when you say the word while.
I said takes a while.
Takes a while.
I hate you so much.
A certain cadence there.
I hate you so much.
I'm sorry.
I want to light you on fire.
We can do Light You on Fire cast, in which every week...
I light you on fire.
No, because we can only do that once. But we can do
it
every week.
We can do it every week. Because I'll light you on fire. And then you'll go to the burn unit for a week, and then I'll light you on fire again.
You're going to burn me in the burn unit?
No. We take you out of the burn unit, and I'll light you on fire again, and then you go back.
No. I don't like burn cast. I don't like light you on fire cast. Burn cast is different. Burn cast is what you do in Colorado or Jamaica.
Light you
on fire cast is... that's a bad one. Sandwich cast will work. If you let it.
It could. It's a possibility.
But we're not going to do it.
It's not going
to
happen.
What we need to do is open sandwiches, and then we'll get someone else to do sandwich cast for us. Let someone else do the work for once, Drew.
We're opening a restaurant, Chris. Do you have any idea how much work that is?
Well, that's because we're busy doing that work. So that's why we got to let someone else do the other work. We need content. Top secret reason. We need content. We have other content on the side already.
Some of that side content.
When we can start recording that side content, which we can't announce just yet, but we already have a theme song coming. We're gonna start working on our logo.
Yeah,
that side content's gonna blow up, yo.
It's gonna be. Hopefully, it'll be better than our original content.
It's gonna be the best content of all the content out there. It's gonna be the next big thing.
It could be.
It's gonna start bringing in the bucks.
It could be.
Take those bucks.
Turn them into dollars.
Turn them into dollars. Turn those dollars
into bread.
Take that bread.
Turn it into loot.
No, you make sandwiches out of them. Then you open sandwiches. That's what you do with that bread.
Okay.
All right, then you got sandwiches. Good. Yeah. Take that money. Open up the Skinny Snack Shack.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got Sandwich Cast going.
Sounds like a lot of work for me, man.
Well, no, you're just worried about... You're just doing sandwiches. Sandwich Cast is going on over there.
What about Skinny D's Snack Shack? Who's running that? I am Skinny D.
Well, no. First, you get sandwiches up and running, right? And then it's like once it's a solid engine, then you just slide in the manager there who makes sure everything's just going the way you want it to go, and then you go over next door.
Slide him in like that.
Slide him in nice and smooth, and then you go next door over to the Skinny D Snack Shack, and you run that shit until that's nice and smooth, and boom, boom, boom.
So this is like, what, the 12-year plan?
Something like that, man. We'll get this done like by Christmas, yo. This is going to pop. This is the way things are in this world, this day and age. Once the ideas are hot, you got to jump on them. Like Heat Fan Grandma, you got to jump on it and capitalize it. If you don't capitalize it, then it's all lost. It's gone. It's frittered away. Like so much little dust particles in the wind caused by a jet engine turned on high.
Sweet.
No chance.
Zero. Gone.
You see that Dumb and Dumber 2 trailer?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Just because 22 Jump Street succeeded where other comedy sequels fail doesn't mean I'm going to start expecting other comedy sequels
to be
good
now.
Neither am
I. Definitely not. It looks like some parts were funnier than others. Yeah. I am glad to see Jeff Daniels in this role again, though, after so many seasons of The Newsroom.
Being
so serious and very smart. And
yeah.
Now he's just back to dumb old Jeff Daniels.
Back to being Harry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is fun seeing the two of them together.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. 20 years since that movie came out. I don't know, man.
We'll see.
The last comedy sequel to come out 20 years after the original was, I think, Blues Brothers 2000.
That wasn't very good.
Ooh, that was not very good.
This one could be not very good, too, but there's only one way to find out.
You know what, though? It'll be better than Blues Brothers 2000. I can tell you that just based on the trailer.
It better be.
Those were already two or three jokes in there that I was like, oh, that was kind of funny. Blues Brothers 2000 was like, oh, this is
That's not funny.
This is just the worst.
Yeah.
This is horrible. Yep.
Horrendous. So, do we have any questions from this guy today?
I don't think so.
No. I wear his face every Sunday.
Billy D. He's
my Sunday face.
He wears your face every Sunday. The least you could do is send us a question.
That way, it's like he's here.
Yeah, he's no question. Especially when we get the studio up and running, the live studio.
Well, then he'll need to be around on Monday so we can see his ugly mug.
He's going to have to be around so that he can call in, Skype in.
Hear his voice.
Yeah, however he wants to do it. That's how we're going to do the show. No, that's email. And my email. I can read his last email.
It's all right. He's a busy man. I mean, you know, he's traveling different cities doing stuff.
Is he a busy man, though?
I follow him on the Instagrams.
Yeah, just because he's in places. Like, yeah, just because he's gone to a couple of cities. So what? He's been to Philadelphia. I've been to Philadelphia.
Yeah, but he's working there. He's doing work.
Yeah, so what? I've done work in other places. Doesn't mean I got an Instagram about it. Billy D, where are you, Billy? Where are you, Billy? Let us know.
Maybe he lost our number.
Oh, yeah. That's why he stopped calling in.
Because he's not anywhere that we can find him. Oh, Billy. Billy, don't you lose my phone. Come on, Phil Collins, bro.
Speaking of which, so we're doing Crespo Disco this week.
Oh, yes, we are.
Check out our bonus episodes. You got CCN from last week where we talk about the outrages.
The outrageous outrages.
The week before that, Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Crespo Disco coming up. Should we do the Nate Grew Philosophers?
The New Great Philosophers? The
New Great Philosophers podcast. Should we do a New Great Philosophers podcast?
Maybe. I mean, that one would have to take, like, we would have to put some thought and effort into it. Like, it wouldn't be able to just fly by the seat of our pants type thing. We'd have to, like, sit down and figure out exactly what we're going to say and how we're going to say it.
Yeah, yeah. What
things
what,
of that nature.
What piece of philosophy we're going to tackle this episode and how are we going to update it for today's standards.
Exactly.
We're gonna
have to do it in a way where it's not like, so this is what they said and this is how we say it. We just have to say it our way, you know?
Right. Just explain it in the way that the kids will understand.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So,
the New Great Philosophy.
No. It's gonna take some effort. A lot of effort. Actually. That probably the more effort than we want to put into it.
More of this effort.
It is a great idea, though.
It is a good one. New Great Philosopher. That's why it keeps coming back up. That's why we keep thinking of it.
Yep.
Yep. Looking forward to the World Cup tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's on right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, the U.S. game tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
World
yeah.
Cup's going right now, but U.S. Ghana tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. What? 6 o'clock, something like that?
6 o'clock, something like that.
Oh, yep. Man.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. It'll be good. Yeah. It'll be on the TV.
It'll be on.
Right there.
It'll be on the TV right there. Oh, look at that crazy instant replay. Boy, that's a crazy wild technology.
Oh, severe thunderstorm warning. Oh, sorry, severe tea storm. My bad. It's a tea storm. Watch out for falling teas.
I remember when I falling teas. I remember when I was first grade, second grade, somewhere around there, about 7 years old. I got into an argument with some kid at school. Some kid was trying to tell me how tea storms were different from thunderstorms. Yeah,
he was horribly mistaken.
That kid now probably
weatherman.
Weatherman, or I was going to say town sheriff, or like a great Republican leader of some sort.
Probably.
I tell you, storms are different than thunderstorms.
They're different walks, I say it so.
They're tougher. They're bigger. They're more severe.
They're shaped like a T.
They're shaped like T's. Well, I want to see a T-storm. You can go to Rachel's and see a T-storm. A T-storm will cost you about $200 over at Rachel's. A
different kind of T.
Come at me. Come flying at me with that thing.
Ah!
People have sued for stuff like that.
They have?
Yeah.
I don't know if they've won. They sued.
I requested all naturals.
Oh, man. So how long ago do you think they stopped listening?
Most people stopped listening like 10 minutes into the show.
Well, at least we got the download.
Yeah. Yeah, we get the number. We get that number.
That's all that matters.
That's a good number to have.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll just wrap it up here. I guess. What else? What else are we going to do?
I got nothing, bro.
Yeah, nothing.
I got squat.
All right, well, that was episode 75. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with episode 76, Come Hell or High Water.
And before then, Crespo Disco.
Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yep. Crespo dubstep. Check test, check 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Recording something, 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 something. Some quick levels over there. Why don't you talk into that microphone and see what happens?
Crespo, we made it.
Right.
Yeah.